Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Downey, California, and earned a BA degree in English Literature from the University of California at Irvine, while playing basketball, and then a JD degree from Pepperdine University School of Law. After serving as the mayor of Irvine, California, he served as commissioner of the Arena Football League from 1996 through 2008. Since 2014, he's been the president and executive director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. His name, David Baker. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to David Baker, the president and executive director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dave, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, it's great to be with you. Football season is just around the corner, and it's going to be the 99th season of the NFL that we're just about to kick off here in Canton.
You grew up in Downey, California. Talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a pretty good childhood in a lot of respects. I had a mom and dad that both loved me to death and worked incredibly hard. Neither one could really read or write. By the end of her life, my mom had learned how to read or write some, but my dad kind of never had that opportunity. He worked in a lumber mill. My mom kept kids. And in many respects, sports was a key part of our family. They went to my ball games and they went to church, and that was about it. They were folks who gave me every opportunity they had. We had a home that was two bedrooms and about 900 square feet, but I don't think I ever lacked for any love in my life because of them. But Downey was a place that was kind of a little bit of the Midwest, right there in Los Angeles. And fortunately in my life, I had a lot of coaches who I was big, somewhat clumsy and big, like a lot of young guys are. But I had so many coaches in my life who taught me so much about life through the lessons of not just football, but basketball, baseball. I was really fortunate to have those guys in my life, and those teams were part of my family, like the family that I had at home with my mom and my dad and my sister. So it was a wonderful place to grow up. Went to Warren High School in Downey. That was a wonderful place to be. It was kind of the place where American Graffiti was filmed, if you recall that.
Yes.
It was that kind of life in the late 60s and as the 70s began.
You got an BA degree in English Literature, and then you become city councilman in 84, and then the mayor of Irvine, California. What was that like being a mayor at a young age?
Well, I was one of the youngest mayors in the United States, as I recall, but I think it was especially great to be at Irvine at that time. It was a dynamic time where I was there from 84 to 88, and the city had incorporated in 1971 and was really the first, kind of master-planned community. And they had this concept of and the good fortune of having one landowner, the Irvine Company, owned by Don Brin, who had about 79,000 acres of prime Orange County real estate. And Don was not much of a sports fan, but he was a great aficionado of art. And that land was going to be his canvas. And he had a dream of building a city in Irvine that had balance and education and a university and culture and a great infrastructure that could support it for a long time. So I'll tell you, we had folks from the Urban Land Use Institute in there all the time, and I learned a lot about economic development by the opportunity that I was presented with in Irvine. And that a community is more than roads and bridges and even schools. That a community has a spirit to it and a culture. And that impacts the people and what they do in life. So Irvine was a great opportunity for me, and I'm very thankful for the time that I got to spend there. You know, I kind of learned that politics is a dangerous sport, and it is truly a contact sport. But it was a wonderful opportunity for the people that I got to work with and for what I learned.
Then from 1996 to 2008, you were the commissioner of the Arena Football League. And two of the biggest names that have survived, one, Jay Gruden, and two, a fella named Kurt Warner. Can you talk to us about Kurt Warner, if you would?
Yeah, Kurt is an incredible young man. Matter of fact, both of these guys are young men that are outstanding young men. But Kurt is a guy who I kind of knew because, you know, he was the guy who was bagging groceries at the Hy-Vee, the famous story. I knew he and his wife, Brenda, in Des Moines when he was a quarterback for the Iowa Barnstormers, and was just a really good guy who was fighting for his chance. And I knew, I think we all knew that he was something special then, but he just never had his chance. And by the time he got to the Rams, you know, and Trent Green went down, Kurt was ready for his chance. And he could pull the trigger faster, was more accurate, and I think for a lot of people in arena football, the game is so fast and so quick on a smaller field that you get out on that 100-yard field and it kind of slows down. And he has proved himself not only to be a great athlete, a great quarterback, and a great leader, but he's proved himself to be a great man. And I think, you know, with Kurt going into the Hall of Fame, it was a wonderful opportunity for me to have the privilege of knocking on his door and saying that he's coming to Canton, Ohio, where his legacy will live forever. Because he's the kind of man that belongs here. And Jay Gruden was a great guy as well there and is doing well in Washington, D.C. Matt Nagy, the new head coach for the Chicago Bears, who will be playing here in a couple weeks at the Pro Football Hall of Fame as we kick off the 99th season. Matt was a quarterback in the AFL, too. But there were a lot of guys in the league who were great athletes, great football players, great people.
We're talking to David Baker, the President, Executive Director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Brasula, and we're with David Baker, President, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dave, football is almost a religion in America to many people. Why so?
Well, you know, it certainly has captured America's passion. You know, somebody told me the other day that the TV ratings for the NFL are 13 times that of Major League Baseball, the NHL, and the NBA combined. So it shows how popular it is. But I kind of think the game itself is a, you know, kind of a little bit like family. It's the concept of team in its truest form. It is really the only sport where every player needs every teammate on every play just to survive. Unless, of course, you know, you're playing in the great game of life, in which case you need, you know, all your teammates all the time on every play. But football is a game that has fat kids, slow kids, fast kids, tall kids. You know, everybody has a talent and everybody has a skill. And even the guys who are cerebral are designing the plays or supporting the team. And there's really a place for everybody in football. And yet you have to learn how to respect each other's talents. You know, I had a son that, as you may know, Jack, played, you know, with USC under Pete Carroll.
Yes. Falcons, and then the Falcons.
And he played 8 years for the Falcons. But when he was at USC, he was winning 35 games straight, which was the record at the time. I had another son who started playing football at Duke during that time, Ben, and he was losing 22 straight, you know, and had the record at that time for most losses at the time. But the great thing is both boys were learning the same great lessons that this game teaches. They were learning about commitment and sacrifice and perseverance and discipline and diligence. And in some respects, my son Ben at Duke was learning even more lessons than my son at USC. And as I am in the job that I have here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where we literally are tasked with calibrating greatness, many guys, including Brett Favre most recently, has said, I always learned more from my losses than I did from my wins. And I think it's a game that has ups and downs, and just like a Shakespearean play, it has tragedy and sometimes comedy, and it has redemption and it has resurrection. And it is an exciting game, but it's a game that we can learn a lot from. It's a game where you have adversity on the other side of the line that you have to face again and again. And the way you face it is you huddle up, with some people that you trust. And in that huddle, you have to learn to depend upon each other. And when you break that huddle, you have to leave with one heartbeat where everybody's on the same page. And when you succeed, you celebrate together. And if you get tackled for a loss, you regroup and you huddle up again. And I think it's a game that we've learned can give us hope. Because, just like the Patriots learned, two Super Bowls ago against the Falcons, anything's possible.
Yes.
Just like the name of your show.
Yes.
It's never too late. There's always hope. And for the Patriots this last year against Philadelphia, it came down to the last play. So I think that there's so many lessons in it. And one of those lessons is that life is a fight. We measure excellence here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But excellence, Jack, for us, is not a pristine piece of white paper that's perfect. One of our Hall of Famers, the great Vince Lombardi, said that you can never achieve perfection. But if you chase perfection, you might just capture excellence. And, excellence in our profession is not pristine and white. It's not clean. It's not coming out of your nose. It is blood coming out of your mouth. It is a stained, dirty uniform that you had to fight for excellence. You have to not only get there, you have to drag other people with you there. And for me, all of that makes this a wonderful, wonderful experience of learning in this journey. The guys who I can tell you that I am privileged to represent, who are the finest football players in the world, are not just great football players. They're guys who've relied on incredible values, commitment, integrity, courage, respect, excellence, love, to get to where they are and to drag other people with them to excellence. And the thing they miss the most when I talk to them is the love that they found in that locker room, the brotherhood. And for all of us, the best team we'll ever play on is our family. So we're all part of a team. There's all kinds of things we can learn. This is a great game. And, when you watch it on TV, we run a play for 6 seconds, and then we talk about it for 45 seconds before we run another one. So there's a lot of great stuff to learn. And the game keeps getting better, and it keeps getting more exciting.
We're talking to David Baker, and in 2014, he became the president executive director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dave, you leave California to come to Canton, Ohio, to take this very challenging job. Why did you do it?
Jack, to be quite honest with you, I turned it down at first. I had a guy who I consider a friend, Jed Hughes, who was an executive recruiter with Corn Ferry, call and say, was this something I'd be considered doing? And I had left as commissioner of the Arena Football League and was then managing partner of a large project out in Henderson, Nevada, Union Village, and I really was excited about it. And a lot of our wealth was tied up into that. And so I kind of did my best Will Ferrell imitation, and I told him, thanks, but no thanks. I don't think I can do this. And he said, well, let me send you the job description. And I was traveling, so I sent it to my wife as I was cleaning up my email and then just erased it. And about 15 minutes later, she called. And she said, hey, we're going to go do this. And I said, well, sweetheart, I don't think you understand. I just told them no. And she said, well, you can call them back. And I said, well, we've got this big project down in Henderson we're working on. And she said, well, yeah, but a lot of it's done now. And, the foundation's done. You can pass the baton to somebody else. And I said, well, sweetheart, we're from Newport Beach, California, in Irvine. I don't think you have any idea how cold this is in Ohio. And she said, we can handle that. And I said, well, why do you want to do this so bad? And she said, have you read this thing? And quite honestly, Jack, I had not even read it. And she said, you need to read this because this is what you believe. And in her foresight, she was very right. This is what I believe. I believe that the values that this game teaches, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we're not just about the worship of football heroes or the worship of football. We're about the respect for the values that these guys relied upon to do something that's truly exceptional. And you know, our mission here is to not only honor the heroes of the game and to preserve its history, but it is to promote the values of the game and the lessons that you learn in sports that I think are very, very important. And then finally, to celebrate excellence. And there is such a level of excellence. Of the 300 young men and now women who have played this game, there's only about 5 million that have ever played in college. And there's only 29,000 that have ever been paid to play, coach, or officiated in the National Football League. And of that, as of today, we only have 310 bronze busts here in Canton, Ohio, and we'll add 8 more in a couple weeks here at our enshrinement. But that's exclusive excellence. That's elite excellence. And what I've learned about that is the same values that can make you a Hall of Fame football player can make you a truly exceptional broadcaster like yourself, or a prima ballerina, or a cellist in the symphony, or it can also make a better father or mother. Those values can make us a greater community, maybe a greater company for you, and they can also make us, and sometimes have made us, a great country. We had the president here, President Trump, just weeks before the election, and when I took him to a certain portion of the Hall of Fame, I could show him where we had 6 million pictures and 40 million documents. And we paused there, and I told him that there's things in there like a letter from Teddy Roosevelt at a time when football was being attacked and was also under challenge. It was a situation where I think there'd be 19 deaths in college football alone that year, 179 serious injuries in 1905. But no less than Teddy Roosevelt felt it was important to make the game safer, to save the game, because he felt the lessons it taught, the toughness it taught, could make American men more diligent, more disciplined, more rigorous, stronger. And he prevailed upon Paul Daschle, the head coach at Navy, because Roosevelt had been the Secretary of Navy, to then prevail upon Walter Camp, the keeper of the rules at Yale, to incorporate this thing called the forward pass. And, of course, today the game is all about the forward pass. But at that time, it was meant to make it safer. But what was key about this, and I had the opportunity to iterate this to President Trump, is that 30 years later, we had young men who were 17, 18, 19 years old who were in the Pacific, in Europe, in Africa, on the other side of the earth, defending, you know, the freedom of the free world, the Western civilization. And if it wasn't for those guys, the world would be a radically different place. So the lessons that you learn from sport, the character that's developed, the teamwork, I believe it to be critical. It's been very, very important in my life. It's been very important in the life of my boys and my family. And I think it's very, very important to our country's future as well.
And those young boys of the Second World War we now refer to as the Greatest Generation. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Dave Baker. Dave, I quote you now. You say, these are great men. If we could profile a couple of them. First, Joe Willie Namath.
You know what? I'll tell you, one of the really great privileges of this job is not the opportunity to get to know these guys as football stars, but really to get to know them as men. We all think that they fell out of bed great. But every one of them, every single one of them, had to overcome enormous adversity to get to where they were, to do something that is this elite. And, you know, Joe was kind of that incredible guy who was known as Broadway Joe Namath, who had a personality that was bigger than life, with the fur coat and the guy in the pantyhose commercial. But I've come to know him as just incredibly solid man who really understands the values of these games. Not too many people understand that Joe had two girls and he got divorced and he got custody of his girls and he kind of raised them. And when you talk to him, this is a guy who talks about love in the home, and he talks about the values that his parents taught him, and now he's got grandkids that he's teaching the same thing. And you know, he played hurt. He was a winner. He brought people along. But it's been fun to see that what's inside this guy's heart is special. We've got an exhibit here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame called the Game for Life exhibit that is a holographic locker room, because for so many of us in sports and in football, some of the great lessons of the game were taught in that locker room. And the coach might have been talking about the second half, but later on, you know, that was the knowledge you were being called upon about, you know, getting up when you get knocked down or going on when you don't think you can go any longer. And Joe Namath is our host there. And there's, it's a football locker room, and there's stories told by football guys. But it is Curtis Martin talking about growing up in the poorest home in the poorest neighborhood in America. It is Alan Page talking about education, or Steve Largent talking about being undersized and yet the incredible things he did about being one of the great receivers of all time. It's Warren Moon talking about being the first black quarterback to make it to the Hall of Fame and not letting people stop him because of what they thought he could do versus what he believed he could do. It is Jim Kelly, you know, talking about, you know, in his life going to four Super Bowls and never winning one but never giving up, and how that prepared him for his fight against cancer today. These are wonderful stories that these guys have applied, and just like Joe raising a family on his own, they've taken those lessons from the field and they've applied them to life. Every one of them, I think, could be a movie or a book because of the journey that they've traveled.
In a couple of weeks, we're going to have the annual induction ceremonies. If you want to learn more, www.profootballhalloffame.com. Describe for us, paint for us, Dave, what that Hall of Fame weekend is all about.
Well, I'll tell you, we kind of like to think it's the best 4 days in football. But it does last really 2 weeks here. The community has everything from a balloon fest to a parade to lots of events to celebrate the kickoff of the season. But here at the Hall, we begin the season with the kickoff of the Hall of Fame game, which this year will be the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens here at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, which is a beautiful small venue NFL stadium. It is no longer a high school stadium in which an NFL game is played. It is, thanks to the generosity of Mr. Benson, this is a beautiful, beautiful stadium, and we thank Mrs. Benson as well. But then, you know, the next day, you know, we end up with what's called the Gold Jacket Dinner, where we really just give away gold jackets, one of the three icons we give away here, at a dinner with about 4,800 people. And where else does something like that happen? The next day is the enshrinement, where each guy unveils his bronze bust, the second icon, you know, they give their speech in front of, you know, it's already a sellout for 23,000 people. And then the last day, we have a kind of a round table again with these guys talking, but we also have what's called the Concert for Legends, where we raise money to help those guys who may need it, who helped build this game. This year, Maroon 5, and that's a sellout as well, is playing. So we think it's a real fun time. And as I mentioned, Jack, this year we'll be kicking off the 99th season of the NFL, which of course means that next year we'll be kicking off the 100th season of this great game. And at the end of that year, September 17th of 2020, we will celebrate the centennial celebration of you know, the National Football League from when it began here 100 years ago in Canton, Ohio. And I think that's going to be one of the greatest days in the history of the game.
This weekend, this induction weekend will be August 2nd through August 5th. Jumping back, the last late Saturday afternoon, the day before the Super Bowl each year, the classes voted on, and you have the great honor of knocking on between 5 and 8 hotel room doors. What's that experience like?
Well, let me kind of back up even from there, Jack, because I'll tell you, this is a process that lasts all year long. We've got 48 elite selectors, guys like Peter King from Sports Illustrated, or Jarrett Bell from USA Today, or Sal Palantonio and John Clayton from ESPN. And these guys work all year round to vote on a pool of players that cross many generations and decades. And they get it from 100 down to 25, ultimately to 18 that are, you know, contributors, coaches, players. You know, there's modern players, there's senior players. And then we get them in the room on that Saturday, and it can take 10, 12 hours to go through the selections, and it is a difficult process. As you know, your radio listeners can't tell, I'm about 6'9 and 400 pounds, and you kind of got to be that big to run this meeting, because these guys have strong opinions about who is the best of all time. And in the end, when we open up an envelope, I'm always surprised as to who that is. But we bring those 18 people to the Super Bowl. Next year it'll be at Atlanta. This last year was at Minneapolis. And we first have to go around and contact those people who aren't selected. And while being a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame makes you one of the top 1,000 football players of all time, these are the most competitive people in the world, and it's difficult for them. But I then have the privilege of knocking on the door of the guys who are selected and telling them and welcoming them to Canton, Ohio, where our job is to keep their legacy forever. And they will have a bronze bust here for 40,000 years. But, you know, frankly, you know, pretty much every one of them cries. There are guys who, Jerry Jones had his entire family there, and the celebration was enormous. There are guys like Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was a first ballot Hall of Famer. When I knocked upon his door, Jack, he knew I was going to knock on his door. But he had tears running down his face. Jerry Kramer was a guy who had to wait a lot of years to get into the Hall of Fame. But when he was there, he gave me the biggest hug it could be. You know, Brett Favre was an interesting guy because it took 10 hours to select the guys that day. It probably took 10 seconds to select Brett Favre. But he stuck his hands in his pocket when I told him he was, at that time, one of the 312 best players, coaches, and contributors of all time. And I think he knew what an honor that was. And in some respects, he did it out of reverence for all the other guys that came before him. And we then take them over to the honor show immediately, and they are revealed to the nation right in the middle of the NFL honor show the night before the Super Bowl. And all our guys who are in the audience who are Hall of Famers kind of go up on stage and shake their hand and welcome them to the fraternity. We then have a press conference afterwards, and I brought Brett Favre over in the group, and I was administering the press conference, so he was kind of next to me. And I said, "How you feeling?" And he says, "Are you kidding?" He said, "I just shook the hand of Roger Staubach." And I said, "You didn't know him? I would have thought they would have played golf or something together." And he said, "No, you don't get this." He goes, "All my life I dreamed of being Roger Staubach." And then he paused for a second and he said, "You know, I guess now I'm on his team forever." And every one of these guys had a hero. Everybody had somebody who they looked up to. Every single one of them had somebody who helped them or inspired them to get there. And that's true in all of our lives. You know, you may be an accountant instead of a Hall of Fame football player, but somebody helped you get there. And so it's inspiring. The privilege of knocking on that door is profound. But the privilege of getting to know the inspiration in each one of these men is even more special than that.
We're talking to David Baker, and it's a good thing that his wife Colleen said, "Honey, we're moving from California to Canton, Ohio." And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to David Baker. And let's look at the footprint of every other major Hall of Fame. Cooperstown, basketball in Springfield, Massachusetts, hockey in Toronto, golf, Jacksonville. Dave, they all have one building. Now, you're 6'9", 400 pounds, but how did you ever conceive and then sell the concept of, we're going to create an entire village? How'd you do it?
Well, you know, like anything else in this game, it takes a team to do it, and it wasn't just my vision, but and I'd say that if you haven't been there, all those other Hall of Fames are a great place to visit. But what I love about the Pro Football Hall of Fame is we're the only major sports museum that is an accredited museum by the American Alliance of Museums. And only 3% of the museums in the United States are accredited like that. So we've got a great base to build upon here. But, you know, as I looked at this, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a hotel here next to us here, and maybe conference center for the people who visit. And then we had, you know, the biggest developer in Ohio, Stu Lichter and IRG, come by on my third day, and we started dreaming together. And, you know, Stu and his team have been wonderful, wonderful visionaries. And then along the way, we got HKS involved, who are the same people who designed AT&T Stadium and U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, and they're doing the Rams Stadium in Inglewood. They also did, you know, the sports complex in Disneyland. And so we started pulling together a team, just like you would a football team, of people who were the very best in their fields. And then we started dreaming. And we had a wonderful board here and an incredible staff that kind of stepped out their comfort zone and said, hey, maybe we can do something special together. Then we went to, you know, we got some support from the city and the state and some of the foundations here. And, you know, pretty soon we got a great contribution from Tom Benson and Mrs. Benson for Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium for naming the stadium after him. And we will keep his legacy alive here forever because of that. But then we got some support from a company called Johnson Controls, who has been a tremendous partner in this process, who wanted to build a state-of-the-art smart sports and entertainment city here. And so now we have Johnson Controls Hall of Fame Village, which is a $899 million project around the Pro Football Hall of Fame that is, if you will, kind of a Disneyland for football. It is Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. It's the National Youth Sports and Football and Sports Complex, which will have ultimately 11 fields. It is a center for excellence for a coaches university, an officials institute, even an academy of corporate leadership for research and safety. It is a ultimately three hotels, but one hotel in association with Hilton that will be a just a football-themed five-star hotel that will be outstanding. Some incredible retail with Shula's Steakhouse and a number of other great partners. And then kind of the Hall of Fame experience, which will allow fans to not only understand what it's like to be at the game, but maybe to be in the game. It will have dark rides and attractions and things that they can experience. And we're also going to have a player care center that'll include a surgical center, a addiction center that Chris Carter and a group he's involved with are doing, and also a place called Legends Landing, which is a 143-bed independent living, assisted living, and memory care unit for guys who built the game. So this will be truly a village that is dedicated to the great sport of football. And whether you're a young player about to play the game, a performance athlete playing the game, a retired legend who played this game, or a fan who loves this game, this will be a place for you to love football.
If you want to learn more, www.profootballhalloffame.com. There's 318 men, the greatest that have ever played. And a while ago, Dave, you went to Walter Reed Hospital to spend time with other great young Americans. What did that experience teach you?
Well, Jack, I'll tell you, I was going to go with you know, two of my owners in the Arena Football League, John Elway and John Bon Jovi, and at the last moment they had to leave, and I'm not a Hall of Famer or a rock star, so I was trying to figure out what to do, but my staff, you know, thinking better than I did, realized that my name was on the football and as commissioner of the Arena Football League, and suggested that I bring a football to the 25 guys we were going to visit who were amputees. And I'll tell you, on that day, I got an education of how great the young men are who fight for our freedom and how important this game is. You know, there was one young man who was missing one arm and one leg, and he was from Iowa. And when I gave him this ball, it lit up, and he talked about playing down at the park and everything. And there was his mother was in a rocking chair not close from us. And being the father of two boys myself, I kind of slipped away from that young man as my staff moved in behind me. And I thanked his mother for the sacrifice that he had made for me and my family. And I said, I'm sorry. And she put me in my place, Jack. She said, are you kidding? She said, you talking about this? And she kind of waved to her son. She said, he's been knocked down before. He knows how to get up. And she kind of smiled and she said, he will. And that's what I think this game teaches, not just to Hall of Famers, not just to guys who get paid for it, like my son, but to all of us. With all due respect to some wonderful chemistry teachers and calculus teachers, most people don't go back to them for life advice. They go back to them for education, which is very valuable. But one of the things we need to learn in life is how to get up when we get knocked down. How to go on when we can't go on any further. And one of those guys who teaches it is your coach. And that guy is somebody we all go back to at some time in life. It may be to try to save our marriage or survive a divorce or to save our company or when we're facing a healthcare crisis or a kid that's gone sideways. But those are important lessons. And those coaches are guys who are teaching us life lessons and character development are critically important in our schools. We need to be supporting them far more than we are. Those kinds of things really do make America great. And that's why I am so proud to be a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to be a part of this game and this sport and other sports like it that I believe make our young men and young women stronger, our family stronger, our community stronger, and our country stronger.
David Baker, you and your team make America great as well. Keep up the great, great work.
Thanks, Jack. Same to you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spalding.
Believe in yourself.